Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Northern Arizona Vein Center. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Q&A. I'm going to start today's show with something a little bit different. A song for a good friend of ours, Ken Lane, our mountain gardener friend out at Waters Garden Center. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Ken Lane. Happy birthday to you. Please hold the applause till the end. Hey, we got great guests on today's show. One of our favorite guests, the space scientist who has had a wonderful series of chats at ERAU, Dr. Richard Holdaway. He is a world-renowned space scientist who has worked with the finest in the industry around the world. He'll be talking at ERAU next week with the topic, Been There, Done That, Now What? And then also at the bottom of the hour today, after the check of local and state news and weather, we'll speak to our old friend Pat Schweiss for the Sedona International Film Festival that got underway this past weekend for 9 days of great independent cinema. Hey, speaking of cinema, tonight and Tuesday at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley, at 7 o'clock, it's Free Burma Rangers. That's a documentary exploring the extraordinary 20-year journey of missionaries Dave and Karen Eubank. The film follows Dave, Karen, and their three young children as they venture into war zones where they're fighting to bring hope. Dave Eubank is a rare hero of the faith. He's a former U.S. Special Forces soldier turned missionary to conflict zones. Now, this film is a real-life adventure movie. Viewers will follow the family into firefights, heroic rescues, and experience life-changing ministry. And in the midst of this journey, you'll witness some amazing lessons of faith, too, from a very inspiring family. That's tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley. Also tonight, the Musical Mondays continue at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley and the Harkins 6. Oh, correction, not the Harkins 6, only the Harkins 14, with tonight's exclusive screening at 7 o'clock of The Phantom of the Opera, starring Gerard Butler, Emmy Rossum, Patrick Wilson, Minnie Driver, and Miranda Richardson. And this week's Tuesday Night Classics continue at the Harkins 14 and, this time, the Harkins 6 in Sedona, and it's a real classic, Charlton Heston in Ben-Hur. Now, when the rich Jewish Prince Judah Ben-Hur is framed for a crime and sold into slavery, he escapes and comes back for revenge in this Oscar-winning biblical epic with the greatest chariot race ever put on film, also starring Jack Hawkins, Stephen Boyd, and literally a cast of thousands. And this was not CGI fake people. This was real people. That's only $5 at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Hey, we've got Dr. Richard Holdaway in the bullpen ready to step in on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at KQNA.com. Don't go away.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
The 2020 census is just around the corner. Are you ready to be counted on for Prescott Valley? This is Councilmember Kendall Schumacher, and every 10 years, the results of the census are used to determine our seats in the House of Representatives. The data is confidential, and it's in the U.S. Constitution. Be sure you are counted for Prescott Valley. Look for your census notification starting in March 2020. Participation is easy. Say, I count for Prescott Valley.
Well, this thing is toast. We'll just get you another unit.
Sound familiar? Other companies may handle air conditioning and heating services that way, but Gettle's technicians follow a straightforward inspection checklist before ever recommending a replacement. If a repair is inadvisable, a highly trained home solutions expert is scheduled for a free and thorough system evaluation so they can properly advise and design your ideal home comfort system. Proper sizing, efficiency, heat loss and gain, equipment location, ductwork design. It's not rocket science, but it is science. And simply quoting equipment replacement is, well, just not the right thing to do. Gettle's High Desert Mechanical, providing options and solutions for your comfort. Unparalleled expertise and generations of service, one customer at a time. In Prescott, call 928-772-2751. And in the Verde Valley, 928-567-2200. Or visit GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle. Get Gettles.
There's no place like home, your sanctuary, your safe place. This is Chris at Norm's Lock and Safe. We're here to keep you secure. We specialize in residential, automotive, commercial locksmith needs. My parents started the business in 1993. My dad, Norm, taught me everything I know, which is a lot. It's truly an honor to serve this community for so long and will continue to do so so gratefully. We look forward to the opportunity to serve you. Norm's Lock and Safe, 8169 East Florentine, Prescott Valley, and normslock.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Always great to have a wonderful guest in the studio. That's certainly the case today with Dr. Richard Holdaway. He's had 45 years of experience working in multinational space programs around the world. He's worked on numerous missions in space science and Earth observation with NASA, ESA, Russia, Japan, the EU, and many others. He was the director of the UK National Space Lab, RAL Space near Oxford in 98. He's now a non-executive director of Stratospheric Platforms based in Cambridge in the UK. He's also a part-time Prescott resident. Dr. Holdaway, I have to ask you, what is a director of Stratospheric Platforms?
Hi, DJ, and thanks ever so much for having me back. It's always great to be here. So my function with Stratospheric Platforms is I'm a non-executive director. There are three of us doing that function. And we give advice to the company based on our own expertise, in my case, engineering and science. And the same is true of one of the other directors. The third guy knows all you need to know about finance and investment, that kind of thing. And the company itself is all about the use of very high altitude platforms for all sorts of different purposes. It's a sort of semi-classified program at the moment, but the world will know all about it before very long.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to stratospheric platforms, I imagine this involves aviation, space, weather, things like that, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you can do a lot of things with high altitude platforms, whether it's communication or taking pictures of the Earth, because a lot of what we know about from the Earth isn't from what we see down here on Earth. It's from being up a high altitude. There are plenty of experiments that have flown on high altitude platforms as well that have looked out towards the stars, the planets, the sun, doing the sort of physics and chemistry that we can do from satellites, but doing it from a slightly easier platform, easier to get to and cheaper to get there. So they don't answer all the questions, the high-altitude platforms, but they are much better at doing some things.
You know, just a couple of days ago, we got news that there was the death of a man who was kind of a radical explorer, and he was using some kind of a rocket thing that crashed back down and killed him, unfortunately. He said he was trying to see if the Earth is flat. Why do people still believe that?
You know, that's a really interesting question. There are still a few people around that genuinely believe the Earth is flat. There is no evidence whatsoever behind that. I mean, if I could have a quarter of an hour with somebody, I could prove in 5 minutes, never sure. mind 15 minutes, that the Earth is round. I've seen the curvature of the Earth myself, not because I've been into space, but because I've been on Concorde, which flies up at 60,000 feet. You can see the curvature of the Earth very easily. You can see satellites flying over Earth very, very easily at night. And there are 101 different ways of proving that. Mm-hmm. But people are entitled to their views. If they want to believe the Earth is flat, they want to believe that Elvis is working in a supermarket in Memphis, they're entitled to do that.
Yeah. You know, I remember standing on the Bonneville Salt Flats where they were doing race car testing. And you could see, because it's so flat along the Great Salt Lake bed, you could see the curvature of the Earth because of the great distance you can see there. I'm just amazed at some of the things people believe. Well, you've got a wonderful talk coming up. It'll be on March the 3rd at 7 p.m. at ERAU. Now, you've had a wonderful series of chats there. Your previous topics were the space programs and the right stuff, the universe, are we alone, the solar system, our sun and the planets and other strange things, climate change, the facts and myths we've learned from space, looking down on planet Earth. This one will be titled, and this is especially intriguing, Been There, Done That, What's Next? I have to ask you, when we've been there, where is there?
Well, again, a great question. So we tend to think that we've seen most things that there are to see out there. And it's true that we've been to the moon with humans and we've been to all of the planets now with spacecraft and robotics, but that's a tiny, tiny fraction mm-hmm. of the universe. And we're getting better at what we can see. We're getting better at where we can go, but we still only know, you know, a very, very small percentage or sure. fraction of 1% of the universe. So the programs that are coming up include, for instance, the replacement for the hugely successful Hubble Space Telescope. This is a program called James Webb Space Telescope. That'll be launched hopefully next year. And that's a great program. Like many big programs, it takes a long time putting it together, and this one's been going now for well over 10 years, although Hubble took 24 years from start to finish before it was launched. And James Webb Space Telescope is very roughly 1,000 times more powerful than Hubble. So what does that mean? Ooh. It means the pictures will be 1,000 times clearer. Imagine what we're going to be able to see there. Just a couple of weeks ago, and one of the programs I'll be talking about, was the launch of a spacecraft called Solar Orbiter, which was a joint mission between the European Space Agency and NASA. It's been launched, but it doesn't start operating fully for another few weeks yet. And that's looking at the sun, actually for three reasons. One is to understand more about the physics and chemistry of stars, of which the sun is one.
Sure.
Secondly, very importantly, and increasingly importantly now to mankind, understanding what's happening on the sun and how it affects Earth climate, because the sun is by far and away the biggest influence on Earth climate.
Mm-hmm.
And the third incredibly good and important reason for looking at the sun is because the sun is a nuclear fusion reactor. It's the best nuclear fusion reactor in the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we want to be able to do on planet Earth is to have sustainable fusion power. Because unlike fission power, there is no radioactive product. So it uses essentially seawater as its fuel, and it produces a lot of energy and then water as a safe byproduct. So we need to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably another 15, 20 years away before it's operational. And the best way of studying how to do that, apart from theoretically, is looking at the sun. So that's what Solar Orbiter will do.
So when you talk about fission power, you're talking about the creation, like, of nuclear bombs, uranium, things like this?
It's analogous to that, whereas fusion, which is what now we're striving for, is the reverse. It's combining together elements of primarily hydrogen, turning it into helium and energy. And it's completely safe. It's very, very difficult technology. It's probably the most difficult technology that's ever been studied and developed on Earth. And that's why it's still probably another 15 years away. But once we get there, then we pretty much will solve the problem of how we get enough power to the whole of humankind.
Really? You know, just I subscribe to the Los Angeles Times daily newsletter, and they had a story last week about the best photo, the closest photo ever taken of the sun, and it looked like kernels on an ear of corn. What do you know about what do we know about the sun in that regard?
We know a lot about what's going on in the sun now. From a number of spacecraft that have flown that have been actually joint programs between NASA and the European Space Agency, or particularly NASA in the UK, because at the laboratory that I used to run, we produced all of the cameras for NASA that were used for understanding the physics and chemistry of the sun. So we can see a lot of the detailed stuff going on the sun. If you look into, if you're cooking at night and you're cooking, you're heating up some soup or you're cooking up some spaghetti sauce, it gets hot, and then it starts bubbling, and then the bubbles in the saucepan pop. And that's a very small version of what's happening on the sun. Sun is bubbling away, very high temperature, very high pressure, and all of a sudden, bits of the sun pop. Mm. And that's when you get solar flares, and if solar flares come towards the Earth, as they do from time to time, that's when we think to ourselves, thank goodness the Earth has a magnetic field, because if it didn't, we would all die.
Sure.
But it's the magnetic field that keeps us safe. And so we need to understand better, as time goes on, that physics and that chemistry, and then be able to use it to our advantage.
I have to ask you, because our contact at EREU is Jason Cada, who for many years was a TV meteorologist. You know, with your knowledge of atmospheric and stratospheric things, do you and Jason ever just talk about the weather?
We don't, because we haven't had time, despite the fact that we've been communicating by email now for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about that yet. But, the lab I worked for and led worked very closely with the UK Met Office and with NOAA in the US, based up in Denver, who are the guys that do your weather forecasting.
Sure.
And the biggest input to weather forecasting is actually the temperature of the sea surface. And that is measured not from buoys or from ships, but from space. And we built the instruments that measure sea surface temperature. We can measure that to an accuracy of 1/10 of 1 degree from a height of 500 miles. And we provide that information to NOAA and the Met Office every single day across the whole globe.
I'll be darned. We're going to learn a lot more in just a minute. We're talking with Dr. Richard Holdaway, whose talk coming up on March 3rd at 7 p.m. at EREU has been there, done that, and what's next. We'll talk more about that in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at kqna.com. Don't go away.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Hello, this is Teresa Brusso, principal at Granite Mountain School. Did you know in Arizona you can choose to keep your tax dollars local? You have the opportunity to invest in our children. Give up to $200 as an individual and up to $400 as a couple. When you give that investment to Prescott Unified School District, you'll receive that money back. This is an easy way to help our schools, enrich our programs, and help children in our community by keeping tax money local. Please go online to PrescottSchools.com and donate today. With your support, we continue to serve every child every day.
Made to Order is more than simply the best cleaning company, because we offer more than all the rest. Sometimes you need more than just a cleaning service. So Made to Order now provides house and dog sitting, carpet and window cleaning, and property maintenance. Let us know how we can help you. We're your local, trusted, bonded, and insured cleaning service. For your free estimate, call us today at 928-899-8518 or go to PrescottMadeToOrder.com.
Are you an energetic, outgoing professional that has good people skills? Then Truly Nolan Pest Control, a leading pest control company in Arizona since 1955, has a well-paying career for you. We are looking for just the right candidates in our Prescott Valley office for both sales and service. You must have a valid driver's license, pass a drug test, and background check. For more information on positions available, please visit our website at trulynolan.com. Click on Careers, then Positions, and City. An equal opportunity employer, trulynolan.com.
When life gets blurry, it's time to adjust our focus. This is Bob Bean with Affinity RV. What we see depends on what we're looking for. Quality time with family and friends, hitting the trail with stunning views and sounds of nature all around. Or perhaps it's being still, escaping with a good book, river waters flowing beside you. 2020 is the year to clearly see what matters and choose how you want to get there, including Lance. Lance is America's fastest growing, award-winning travel trailer, and they're here at Affinity RV. We also have many select
select new and pre-owned RVs on Red Tag Row. Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyle together for over 23 years. We're proud to once again be awarded one of the top 50 RV dealers in the U.S. and Canada. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, or online anytime at AffinityRV.com.
Listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 2:21 with Dr. Richard Holdaway. His talk is coming up Tuesday, March 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Davis Learning Center Auditorium at ERAU. And Dr. Holdaway, you're kind of teasing me a little bit. You've got a surprise for me about China. What's going on there?
Hi, DJ. Yeah, so one of the things I'm going to be talking about in my final lecture on the 3rd is about the new space race. And you know, we're all familiar with the space race that took place in the 60s between the US and Russia. Well, there are two new space races that have already begun. And I'll be talking in a lot of detail about those in my talk. One is the private space race. So it's really between the Elon Musks and the Jeff Bezoses as to who gets astronauts up there first and whether they're heading for the moon, whether they're heading for Mars, how they're going to do it. And that in itself is going to be fascinating. The other space race, which has been going on behind the scenes for a long time, is with China, because China is the rapidly emerging power in space. Unlike in the U.S., in Europe, we're able to work with the Chinese on space programs and have done for a long time. And I've been to China and been going there probably 40-odd years now, mainly on science, because we're very, very limited on the technology that we can discuss and work on with the Chinese. And we're covered by the same rules and regulations as you are over here. But I know the space race, I know the space program, rather, pretty well in China. And I've been saying for at least 5 years that the Chinese will probably be the next people on the moon. Now, they had planned, it was in their long-term strategy, to be on the moon by 2025. It was not surprising and very interesting to hear your president say, and repeat a couple of nights ago, but to say back last year, well, we're going to be on the moon in 24. It wouldn't surprise me if the Chinese don't decide, therefore, they're going to aim to be on the moon by 23. And, you know, just keep on leapfrogging like that. But I was talking to a very, very good and close colleague of mine this morning, in the early hours this morning, because he's in the UK. And he's not long back from China. He was actually in Wuhan at the outbreak of the coronavirus, yeah. But it was at a time when they didn't know it was rampant, and he's okay and fine. But he said to me this morning when we were talking about the space race, he said, I believe that the Chinese will be on their way to the moon this year, not 23 in 2023, but this year.
Wow.
Now, he said that that will be like the Apollo 8 mission where they went and flew around the moon and came back. That was the mission where Bill Anders famously took the picture of Earth rise over the moon.
Yeah.
So they didn't land, but they went there first to test the system out. He believes the Chinese will be doing that this year. And I have to say, this guy, who's been to China far more times than I have, probably knows the Chinese program better than anybody else in the West.
Isn't that so?
So I think it is probably very likely that that's what will happen by December this year. So watch this space.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. You know, you mentioned the famous photograph by Bill Anders. I remember that from the cover of Life magazine.
Yep.
When we first saw it, it was just awe-inspiring. And that was like a last-second decision by him, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's why I thought, I got to get this picture. Boom, he got it. And wow, has that lived on. So I have to ask you this. Now, I remember the space race from the 60s. I was a kid who was idolizing the astronauts. I would be late for school because I'm watching the morning liftoff and everything. These astronauts were rock stars. But JFK, during his inaugural address, had kind of planted the seed for that. How much of the space race do you think during the 1960s was fueled by the Cold War with Russia?
Oh, I would say it was entirely.
Really?
In terms of timing,
yeah,
it was entirely.
Beat them there, right?
Well, it was because you know, the first race was to get the first satellite in orbit, and the Russians won that race.
Sputnik
up. Mm-hmm. The second race then was to get astronauts up, or cosmonauts, as the Russians call them, of course.
Yuri Gagarin.
And Yuri Gagarin. So yeah. The Russians won that race. And I think the U.S. Government, certainly the early stages of NASA, everybody working on the space program was absolutely determined that they were going to win the next major race, which was getting to the moon. And of course, you guys did, and you've won every race since then.
Yeah.
So that was what was driving the time scale. And of course, he said before the end of the decade, and that's what you achieved.
Wow. You know, my stepdaughter, who is an ERAU grad and is working in aerospace on the East Coast, most of the satellites that she is involved with are commercial satellites. And how much of the business community, especially banking, things like this, has fueled the growth of satellites?
Oh, almost all of it now. So this year there have already been something like 2,000 satellites launched. Many of those are very small.
Yeah.
And most of those are commercial satellites funded commercially, and that's great for the space program, because NASA and the European Space Agency and Japan and so on are still putting a lot of money into the space program, but the fact that all this money is going in from private enterprises has got to be a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's increasing employment. I mean, in the UK,
sure,
the space sector is the fastest growing sector in the economy. In the US, it's continuing to grow fast, but going fast on the commercial side, which means the government hasn't got to pump in as much money as it would if it wanted to go even faster. Although NASA's budget is increased this year to help really with the launch vehicle to take people to the moon and then to Mars.
Mm-hmm. In your experience in aerospace and dealing with all of these space launches and things like this, isn't it great that we have a new emphasis on STEM courses, science, technology, engineering, math, and medical, especially for girls who historically were kind of shut out of that field, weren't they?
It's not only interesting, it's incredibly important, because again, when I was running the lab, and my successor, who's doing the same now, it wasn't money that was our problem. It was getting hold of enough engineers. And there are two ways of doing that. One is governments encouraging kids to do STEM cells subjects, and very importantly, as you said, to have girls doing engineering. And by the time I left, nearly 30% of all the engineers were girls, and that's just great. And the more, the better, as far as everybody is concerned.
You know, I went down to Phoenix a few months ago to see the documentary Apollo 11 about the everything behind that incredible launch, and almost all the footage was from NASA, and we're going back to, I think, 1967, and if you look in that control room, every single person there is not only male, they all have a crew cut, they all have white shirts and black ties, mm-hmm. where conformity was everything. It doesn't hurt to have somebody a little outside the box in that field, does it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it really is vital. I mean, and it's not just the space program. It's in anything in engineering.
Sure.
And you know, if for all your parents and grandparents that are listening now on the radio, anything you can encourage your kids to do STEM subjects, one thing is sure, if they do well in their education and they become certainly scientists, but particularly engineers, they will never, ever be short of a job and a career and an exciting one at that.
And the sky will literally be their limit, won't
it? And it will indeed.
Absolutely. And Dr. Richard Holdaway, tell us once again when and where for your talk about Been There, Done That, What's Next?
So it's on, it's a week tomorrow, Tuesday the 3rd of March, which the networks keep telling me is Super Tuesday for other reasons. It's at 7 o'clock in the Davis Learning Center up at the university.
And it's always so exciting to have you here on the show. Thank you so much for joining us on Q&A. Hey, stay tuned. We're going to talk about with Pat Schweitz about the Sedona International Film Festival. That's coming up next after a check of local and state news and weather on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at KQNA.com.
James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender. Roses are red, violets are blue. There's a giant share of Castle Cash waiting for you. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. Two hearts are better than one, so grab a loved one and start earning entries all February. Hourly drawings every Saturday in February from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a chance to win $5,000 in Castle Cash. At 11 p.m., a lucky guest will have a chance to win $10,000 in Castle Cash. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway, only at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel.
Must be 21 and a Players Club member to participate. See Players Club for details.
Who ever heard of used cars for a dollar? Used cars for a buck? Let me say it again, used cars for only $1. It's Lamb Chevrolet's annual indoor car sale this Saturday only. Hello, this is Ed Walsh, and this huge indoor sale is set to be our biggest used car event of the year. This is our 17th annual indoor car sale. We've got 40,000 square feet, all indoors, packed with inventory. Every vehicle will have a price clearly marked on the windshield, some for only a dollar. And we've got plenty of cars for only $2,000 or $3,000. We have vehicles for everyone, whether you're in the market for a $100 car or a $30,000 car. No negotiations will be necessary. Vehicles will be discounted up to 50%. These cars are on a first-come, first-served basis. Doors open at 9 a.m. this Saturday, so come early for the best selection. Don't miss the biggest used car sale event of the year. It's Lamb Chevrolet's huge indoor sale this Saturday, 9 a.m. Don't miss it.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Monday the 24th. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Wallach and Volk. A bill to protect healthcare workers from patient assault clears a first round in the state legislature.
House Bill 2538 raises the penalty for attacking a healthcare worker from a Class 6 felony to a Class 5. That's significant because the Class 5 felony, unlike a 6, cannot be treated as a misdemeanor. Nurse practitioner Heather Ross tells the House Judiciary Committee, current law is so unfair.
We do support raising the felony for assault from a Class 6 to a Class 5 on par with animal abuse in the state of Arizona.
An ex-nurse testified she's medically retired and always in pain after a patient assaulted her, but insurance denied her injuries. But even sympathetic committee members fear the bill could open a can of worms. Barbara Villa, Arizona News Radio Phoenix.
Sunny, breezy, and cool this week, much cooler tomorrow, with highs around 59 today and Wednesday in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt, only 50 tomorrow. Warming back up Thursday and Friday to near 64, chilling after bedtime tonight to near 29. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, a sunny, breezy high near 66 today and Wednesday, only 57 tomorrow. Warming to 71 Thursday and Friday, an overnight low near 34. This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQNA. Like us on Facebook and listen live worldwide at KQNA.com and stay tuned. Q&A will continue in just a moment on KQNA.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, as our regular listeners know, I'm the film critic for the Arizona Hometown Radio Station Group, and one of the pleasures of that is getting to see a lot of movies that otherwise wouldn't be part of my repertoire, shall we say, and there's a whole bunch of them coming to Sedona because it's that time of year again to talk to Patrick Schweiss about the 26th annual Sedona International Film Festival. Patrick, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We're doing really, really well. It's day three of our film festival, and all is well and beautiful here in sunny Sedona.
And coming up this Saturday, you have a very special guest you're going to honor, don't you?
We do, Rob Reiner. We are so excited to have Rob Reiner here to receive our Lifetime Achievement Award for Best Director. And we're just looking so forward to it. He has directed some of the finest films that so many of us know and love, like When Harry Met Sally, Stand By Me, Princess Bride, all sorts of wonderful ones. A Few Good Men. I mean, you name it, he's directed it. He's one of the most sought-after directors in Hollywood, and he's worked with all of the finest.
And all of us who are baby boomers who grew up with all these pretentious rock stars will forever love Rob just for This Is Spinal Tap.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. It is going to be so unforgettable, and he's just, he's an incredible human being, and he picked his favorite film. We asked him, you know, what film would you like us to show, and he picked his from 1995. It's now going to be celebrating its 25th anniversary, The American President.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Michael Douglas, Annette Bening, Richard Dreyfuss, of course, Martin Sheen, an all-star cast, Michael J. Fox, a really, really wonderful film, and his best and dearest friend, Mark Shaiman, who composes all the music for all of Rob Reiner's films, is going to be here to help us honor him. So it's going to be a really special event.
And during the International Film Festival in Sedona, you'll be showing 45 full-length documentaries, including five that were shortlisted for Academy Award consideration.
Absolutely. We're so excited. And three of them actually did end up getting the nomination, which was fantastic. So we had Honeyland, which was actually nominated for two Academy Awards, both documentary and international feature. And, of course, For Sama and The Cave. I mean, really incredibly powerful, powerful, powerful films. And you don't want to miss them. They're just really wonderful. And you'll definitely see why they got and deserved the Academy Award nominations, and just really wonderful films. And we've got Those Who Remained, which was shortlisted for Best International Film, as well as Portrait of a Lady on Fire. So we've got some really high caliber films in the festival lineup this year.
Yeah, I'll tell you, anybody who has not seen Portrait of a Lady on Fire, that is, pardon the pun, one of the hottest films going around. Yeah. They're in for a real treat with that one.
They really are. Our audience was mesmerized already with the first screening, just absolutely blown away, and it's just a really fantastic, fantastic film.
And I have to ask you, Pat, because the Oscars were just 2 weeks ago, did the Best Picture Oscar going to an international subtitled movie make your eyes open up and go, that is going to open up so many avenues?
It really is. And, you know, we were featured, of course, Parasite back in December here at our own Mary D. Fisher Theater a couple of months before it started getting the Oscar nominations, and it did really well in all of the awards, all through award season. And we knew we had something special when we showed it back here in early December, and then to just see it go on and get the acclaim that it did. And what an amazing, like you said, it's going to open so many eyes and so many doors for future nominations. I mean, and to sweep both international feature and best picture was absolutely unheard of. I mean, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And weren't there acceptance, wasn't the director's acceptance speeches in all of them just absolutely brilliant and beautiful?
Weren't those great, though? They really were. And
they were.
I just love the fact that even though these, the best picture was made in South Korea, how many people at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood were standing and applauding?
It was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And to hear his actress at the end when they were closing the show and she just wanted to speak more and they turned the lights back on and gave her the chance to speak. And it was so heartfelt and beautiful. I mean, truly, all of Korea was celebrating along with all of us that night.
And, you know, the director, Bong Joon-ho, I think is his name.
Yes.
He said something during the Oscars campaign season that I think really stands out. He says, too many people are kept out of the movie theaters by those one-inch barriers, subtitles. Maybe this will eliminate that fear.
Maybe it will. You know, we love it because we've got such a wonderful and astute and sophisticated audience here in Sedona at the Sedona Film Festival. We have some of the greatest world cinema here in the festival lineup, and the subtitles don't scare them at all.
Yeah.
But I do notice year-round at our Mary Fisher Theater, it is a little bit, at the theater, it's a little more challenging getting them to come and read a film, but they still do, and they come out, and they love it, and they enjoy it. And at the festival, there are some of our best and most popular films.
You know, we're talking about the Mary Fisher Theater. You've got Frances Fisher coming in, who a lot of us know from her days working with Clint Eastwood.
Right, right, exactly. And she was in a film called Heartland, which we did an audience sneak preview of on Saturday night. She did a fantastic performance and just more times in the past few years in other films, and what a gem of a human being.
And, you know, being a big fan of Turner Classic Movies, this past weekend, I watched Manhattan again. And early in the movie, Woody Allen, of course, has a very young paramour played by Marielle Hemingway, and she's coming in too, isn't she?
Absolutely. Marielle has become a festival favorite too. This is her third time back to our festival.
Neat.
She's really healthy eating and hiking and all things, so of course she loves Sedona anyway, and she's fallen in love and has a love affair with our festival, and our audiences do too. And she's so giving of her time and her talent, she'll stay on the red carpet and take pictures with as many people as she possibly can while she's here. Absolutely a beautiful, delightful, and very, very talented woman.
Let me ask you how these movies, you have so many independent movies showing during the Sedona International Film Festival. In most cases, do you contact the filmmakers or do they contact you?
Actually, we have a submission process where filmmakers from around the world can submit their films for consideration to try to get in the festival, and we go through a very rigorous process. And we want the best ones, of course, that are going to show at the festival. Very, very fortunate that our reputation in the film world has grown significantly over these 26 years. So now filmmakers are clamoring and telling all of their friends, you want to get into Sedona, you want to get into Sedona. It's a filmmaker-friendly festival. So that's one way. And then we do have a certain percentage of the films in the lineup that we actively go out and scout and solicit from other festivals where we see that the films are playing really well and getting strong audience reactions or have strong award season contention.
And you know, Patrick, you're familiar, of course, with these movies that have played at Sedona for so many years. Tell us the importance of supporting independent cinema that is not constantly harassed by marketing people in the big studios.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, the film festivals and art house theaters like our Mary D. Fisher Theater, all around the world, art house theaters around the world, festivals around the world, serve such an important function, and the audiences who go to festivals serve an important function. A lot of times these independent films that are not backed by studios, this is their only chance to be seen, is at film festivals. So you're seeing creativity at its best and finest. And what happens is, when they do well at festivals and there's some great buzz, it helps their marketability to get them picked up by a distributor who can put them in theaters all around the world. And so many filmmakers have gotten their starts in film festivals, and so many big films now that we know and love were done by filmmakers who started off with a short film in a film festival, and then another short film, and then eventually got picked up to do a feature. But it all starts with the magic and the power of film festivals and these wonderful audiences who come out to see these films that don't have the Hollywood blockbuster box office, you know, marketing machine behind them.
Isn't it great, Patrick, how when you watch the opening credits for so many independent movies, a lot of times you'll see the movie star or director putting their own money into it as an executive producer?
Absolutely. So many of these people, so many of them have really, literally, drained their checking accounts, savings accounts, and their mother and fathers and aunts and uncles and relatives' checking accounts just on, you know, betting on the fact that this film was going to make it. And so it's a gamble, and in a lot of cases it works, in some cases not so much. It may take two or three different times, but it is really amazing their own money that they put into this and sunk into this. That's how much they believe in their dream.
You know, I mentioned Turner Classic Movies before. We were watching the Hitchcock classic Suspicion the other day, and the ending of that was so unsatisfactory because in those days they had to keep in mind not only the motion picture production code, but the Catholic Legion of Decency. We can be ourselves
Absolutely.
These days, can't we?
We can indeed. We can indeed. And we often, you know, we often let people know and warn people that, you know, independent films don't often come with a rating.
Yeah.
So you're taking a risk, and they tend to be a little, in most cases, they tend to be a little edgier, a little more, a little risk-taking. And so, which really, again, does open it up for some real creativity and some real interpretation on behalf of the filmmaker and, of course, on the audience seeing them.
And, you know, I can remember just a few years ago when Slumdog Millionaire, you know, was going great.
Danny Boyle. Danny Boyle, right.
I can remember people talking about Bollywood saying that in Indian-made movies, they don't permit the man and woman to kiss.
That's right. Yep, exactly. We were fortunate to see that at the Telluride Film Festival at the premiere.
Really?
And we were, you know, very, very early on, of course, it was just premiering there and at Toronto, and the whole audience there said, you know, there is something special. There is absolutely something special about this film. And boy, they were not wrong.
Let me ask you this, Patrick. With so many different ways for people to preview a movie nowadays, with social media and all the websites, things like this, do you think movie critics still have a lot of sway?
You know, I was just talking about this very same thing with someone the other day. I still think they have a lot of sway, and I still also, you know, so many people will. I don't weigh a lot on what movie critics say, just because I really want to make my own opinion.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people do, but a lot of people will just, you know, it's not cheap to go to movies nowadays when you do go to the theaters. And they'll look to see if they think, if someone thinks whose opinion they value, which is certain critics and things, whether they think it's worth their money to go into the theater. And so, and I know a lot of people pay attention to Rotten Tomatoes ratings, where they mm-hmm. give both an audience rating and,
and
a critics rating, and they're not always, they don't always jive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very interesting to me. I think people are a little more willing to give films a chance that may or may not get great ratings when they're watching it on their electronics. Mm-hmm. Than whether they plunk down, you know, $10, $12, $15 to go see it in a movie theater. But again, I love the fact that movies are so accessible and so many filmmakers can get their film seen in so many formats, but there's nothing like going to the movies. There's nothing like going to the movie houses.
Boy, you must have seen the thought bubble above my head, because, you know, with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, you know, making their own movies now and a lot of good ones, I really feared what that's going to do to the movie going audience, because I find it really hard to take seriously a review of anybody who saw a movie on their watch or on their tablet. Come on.
How can that possibly be a good way to experience and really feel
exactly.
a movie? I agree completely. And there's nothing like that communal feeling of experiencing a film on the big screen, the big screen, the way it's meant to be seen, with an audience enjoying it all at the same time, and then in most, you know, in cases at a film festival, talking about it after you've experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really, nothing can replace that.
Yeah, well, tell me how the first couple days of the film festival went.
I'm telling you, it's been phenomenal. We've had our strongest opening in 26 years.
Oh.
You know, we've got 177 of the greatest films from around the world, and I didn't realize just how amazing. I knew we had great films, but for some reason, the first 2 days were two of the strongest opening days programmings that we've ever had. It has been one after one after one, where the audiences are coming out going, that was a solid five, that was a solid five. We rate our films, and the audience votes on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being best. I've had people come up and say, I've never voted on so many fives ever at a film festival, that they just said, one lady came and saw 8 in a row.
Oh.
Every single one she rated a 5. She couldn't imagine them how amazing and how good they could be. So we're having a really good, very good opening weekend. Lainey Kazan came and brought her dearest friend, Lynn Roth, and we showed Shepherd, the story of a Jewish dog, which Lynn wrote, directed, and produced based on The Jewish Dog, a best-selling novel, and it was so beautiful, and the audience was in tears, and they gave a great Q&A that Lainey hosted. It was a really strong, strong opening weekend.
I can recall Lainey Kazan from her appearances on the old Dean Martin variety shows back in the 60s.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I'm actually
goodness.
Looking at a poster in my office right now of Lust in the Dust, which she starred with Tab Hunter and Divine, the cult classic. She just signed our poster. Tab signed the poster when he's passed. May he rest in peace. He was here as our festival guest and honoree twice in the last 10 years, and we now added Lainey's signature to that wonderful poster.
Isn't it? Now, who was the other one? Was it Tab Hunter?
Tab Hunter, yes.
Yeah,
and
I interviewed
Divine.
Him a couple of years ago for his new book. Yeah.
All right, Confidential.
Yeah, exactly,
good
exactly.
Memory. Yeah, he was a gem of a human being.
Oh,
lost
absolutely.
We lost him too soon.
Yeah, we did. And I have to ask you, Patrick, how can people become members of the Sedona Film Festival?
Yeah, it's very easy. Go online, SedonaFilmFestival.org. You can sign up for a membership and be supporters of ours all year long. It gets you discounts on tickets, discounts on your festival tickets and passes, and everything that we do all year long. And, of course, if you want to come and experience the film festival, it's not too late. We have 6 theaters operating, 4 different time slots a day, so there's 24 different choices that you have each day from now until the end of the festival, which is on Sunday. We close. We have 4 of the strongest closing night films. They're so good, I don't know how people are going to make their selections. And just phenomenal, phenomenal films. So check out our website. You can check out the trailers, the synopses of the film. Get a membership. Get some tickets. Come and play with us in Sedona.
And Patrick, just before you called in, my first guest today was a space scientist who has worked with different space communities around the world in aerospace engineering and space moonshots, things like this. Coming up this Friday, you're going to have a special presentation by, is it Bella Gaia?
Bella Gaia, which means beautiful Earth. It is an extraordinary stage production incorporating dancers from around the world, musicians from around the world, and some of the most stunning visual footage shot from outer space of our beautiful planet. It's footage from NASA, and we have Ron Guerin, a renowned astronaut who has seen our beautiful planet, our beautiful Earth, from that perspective out in space. He's going to come and host the show and introduce the show and be here to present Bella Gaia. It is absolutely an unbelievable, you'll have to see it to experience it, experience. And it really is celebrating our beautiful, beautiful Earth. It was born from the fact that every astronaut that comes back who's been from outer space feels like their life has been significantly changed when they've seen our planet from the perspective that so few get to see it. And they realize how real small we are in this grand, beautiful Earth we live on. And so they created a show that celebrates our beautiful planet. It's absolutely extraordinary.
You know, as with this being the 26th annual Sedona International Film Festival, what happened to Ed Asner?
Ed, oh, I know, and he's in two of our films this year. He's been here 5-6 times. He loved our festival.
Yeah.
We couldn't make it work with his schedule this year because he's still at 80-some years old. He's the busiest working actor in Hollywood.
Isn't that great?
Everybody wants to cast him, whether it's a voiceover or whether it's it's acting in their movie. It's unbelievable. He is so busy, and he's still on the road doing some of his one-man shows live on stages. It's just, he's a phenomenal human being.
And last but certainly not least, you're also having David Arquette on hand, aren't you?
David Arquette, he's also in Heartland, and David Arquette's a wonderful human being. We've had so much fun coordinating his visit here. He loves Sedona. He was happy to be making a return trip here. You never know who you're going to run into here at the Sedona Film Festival, that's for sure.
And
we just added Leonard Maltin, speaking of movie critics.
Oh,
Leonard Maltin is going to be joining us tomorrow.
Oh.
He's going to be here tomorrow. That's Tuesday through Thursday. He's going to host a film called Going Attractions, the definitive film on the movie palace. And he's going to join us for one on stunt women in Hollywood and just to be around and host a lot of different events while he's here.
I get his newsletter every week with him and his daughter, you know, in the newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to get his annual movie guide every single year, and he stopped producing it in 2015.
Oh, wow. Well, he is just a wonderful wealth and breadth of knowledge. I mean, he's a joy to sit and listen to. I've had the privilege of having dinner with him several times up at an art house convergence, an annual gathering of art house theater owners. And he's a frequent guest there, and he's a lovely human being, as is his wife, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
They're delighted to come to Sedona. He's delighted to spend time with our audiences and talk movies.
And you know, one of the great things about hearing Leonard, if you've reviewed as many of his movies or seen his reviews as I have, he can criticize a movie when it deserves it without being mean and vicious.
Absolutely. He really appreciates, whether he likes the movie or not, he appreciates the craft of movie making.
Yeah.
And he's committed to honoring the craft of movie making. So while it may not be his cup of tea, he will usually find something that's redemptive in the film or in the process. To make it where he's not just picking apart a movie.
Yeah. Patrick, always great to talk to you. Tell us once again how we can learn more about the Sedona International Film Festival.
Visit our website, SedonaFilmFestival.org. It's got all the details. There's links you can click on to find our free workshops, movie synopses, trailers. We've got 7 more great days ahead, and we're looking so forward to having you all join us.
And it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us today on Q&A.
Likewise. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. That is Patrick Schweiss with the Sedona International Film Festival. Stay tuned, because I'll have this week's remaining guests coming up and some final thoughts on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at KQNA.com.
When you were young, what did you want to be when you grew up? While many of us didn't become firefighters, singers, or astronauts, we can still become retired. Hi, I'm John Dombrowski, president of Grand Canyon Planning Associates and host of The Word on Wealth. It takes the right kind of planning and help to get to that comfortable retirement. So while I can't put out fires, sing along with Lady Gaga, or blast off to the moon, I can help you reach your financial goals. I've been assisting my clients for over 25 years with their financial, estate, and tax planning needs, and I can help you as well. Call me at 480-991-1055 and schedule a complimentary consultation. That's 480-991-1055. Visit us online at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. I'm John Dombrowski reminding you, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC and Client One Securities LLC are not affiliated.
Who ever heard of used cars for a dollar? Used cars for a buck? Let me say it again, used cars for only $1. It's Lamb Chevrolet's annual indoor car sale this Saturday only. Hello, this is Ed Walsh, and this huge indoor sale is set to be our biggest used car event of the year. This is our 17th annual indoor car sale. We've got 40,000 square feet, all indoors, packed with inventory. Every vehicle will have a price clearly marked on the windshield, some for only a dollar. And we've got plenty of cars for only $2,000 or $3,000. We have vehicles for everyone, whether you're in the market for a $100 car or a $30,000 car. No negotiations will be necessary. Vehicles will be discounted up to 50%. These cars are on a first-come, first-served basis. Doors open at 9 a.m. this Saturday, so come early for the best selection. Don't miss the biggest used car sale event of the year. It's Lamb Chevrolet's huge indoor sale this Saturday, 9 a.m. Don't miss it.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Hey, if you're a big fan of Tom Clancy, you're going to love Mark Greaney. He has written a series of books in the Tom Clancy mode. His newest one is called 1 Minute Out, and he will be featured on tomorrow's Q&A. Stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3, followed at 4 by Talk of the Town, Chino Valley, and then join me right back here tomorrow with Mark Greaney about his thrilling new book. He spent years overseas researching this material. He also has a degree in international studies. That's Mark Greaney, Q&A tomorrow at 2, when I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.